Well, hello, it's good to be with you. And it's even better to know that when we're together like this, we're actually meeting with our Lord who desires for us to know Him, who desires to speak to us and desires for us to hear Him. So let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for this day, O Lord. And Father, thank You that You are the sovereign and living God, Lord, that You rule and reign over all. Father, we are thankful, O God, to know Your great love for us, for Your invitation for us to seek You. And Father, we come before You now. Lord, reveal Yourself. Lord, we need to hear from You. Lord, open our minds and our hearts to know You, to be able to trust You more, to be able to walk closer to You. O Lord God, speak, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I do hope that you're having a wonderful day. Hope that you're experiencing peace and joy in your life. I hope this is just a wonderful season of life for you. But also know for some of you, it's not that way. I have no doubt that some, maybe many of you, are going through very difficult times right now of worry, of anxiety, of fear, either for personal issues or issues for some member of your family. Certainly as we look at our nation today, it is a time of concern, a time of anxiety, and we need to be able to pray and to seek God's guidance, to be able to hear from the Lord, to know His strength, to know His nearness. And we wonder, you know, how can we pray in such times? Again, whether it's a personal issue or whether we're praying intercessory prayer for someone else, whether we're praying for our nation, how can we pray in such times? And we get an idea as we come now to Psalm 17. It's a Psalm of David, written in another one of those difficult times in David's life. And we don't know exactly which one. There were so many, and he doesn't tell us specifically which one here, and not enough detail for us to make a guess. But David's going through a very difficult time. And we wonder, you know, what enabled David to pray in those times? So that we can learn how to pray in difficult times. What should enable us, yet for difficult times, but for all of our times, but especially those dark, difficult times, personally or nationally. As we look at the psalm, the first thing that we see that enabled David to pray and guided his prayer life that should really speak to us today is the fact that we need to pray needfully. And by that I mean that we really recognize, truly recognize, our need, our dependency upon God. There needs to be an attitude as we come to God in prayer, and it's certainly that way for our nation right now. God help us or we're sunk. God help us. You are our only help. God, we need You. Nothing and no one else can help us in this situation. You think about what David said in verse 1. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Give heed to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Look at the different ways in one verse that David expressed it. Hear, heed, give ear. God, I desperately need You. You know, that's one thing about a time of adversity. One advantage to a time of adversity is the fact that we are reminded of just how deeply we need God. You think about Simon Peter, and he tried to walk on the water, and he took his eyes off the Lord, put them on the waves, began to sink, and cried out to the Lord. That very short prayer he uttered, and yet it was deeply personally honest. He recognized his need, and he threw himself upon God as a result of it. We need to pray needfully. You think about your own life. The last time you were in a very difficult situation, you think about how real and vivid your prayer life became in that time. You know, one sad reality of a comparative easy time is that we lose sight of our need for God. And our prayer life begins to lose its power and its focus. But effective prayer is needful prayer when we recognize how desperately we need God. But we also not only do we need to pray needfully, but we also need to pray righteously. That is the fact that we need to seek to be right with God. You think of what we read in verses 2 through 5. Let my judgment come forth through your presence. Let your eyes look with equity. You have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me and find nothing. I have purposed that in my mouth I will not transgress. As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept from the paths of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. Now, David there is not saying that he is sinlessly perfect before God, but the idea there is that he has sought to be right with God and man, and especially in whatever the area is this problem deals with. He is saying, God, I have sought to be right with you. I have sought to be obedient. I have sought to please you in this area. We need to pray righteously. We can't overemphasize this. You know, Psalm 66:18 says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And it's interesting, it doesn't just say if I have iniquity on my hands, but if I regard it in my heart. If I'm contemplating doing it and wanting to do it, my heart is driven in that direction. If I allow it to nest, we can't help, obviously, temptations that flash through our mind. But the idea of being there, that we just allow it just to sit there and turn and stew and spin and gather momentum. We need to seek to be righteous before our Lord. And as we examine our hearts and our lives, if we see that sin is there, God has given us a wonderful provision through our salvation in Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, that means to judge them, to say the same thing about them that God does. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful because of his justness, and his justness was seen in the fact that sin's penalty was paid for on the cross by Jesus Christ at Calvary. It's not that God just overlooks sin or brushes it off, and it's the fact that he is faithful to the covenant where the price was paid in full. And as we come before God and we face that desperate need, there needs to be a seeking of our heart to make sure that we're right before God, certainly in the area that is our concern, but in our entire life. We need to deal with sin, so we need to pray righteously. We also need to pray trustingly. That is the fact, we need to pray in deep trust upon God. You think of what we read in verses 6 through 12, and in particular verses 6 through 8, but look at verses 6 through 12. I have called upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Wondrously show your loving kindness, O Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand, from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who despoil me, my wicked enemies who surround me. They have closed their unfeeling heart. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have surrounded us in our steps. They set their eyes to cast us to the ground. He is like a lion that is eager to tear, as a young lion lurking in hiding places. Obviously, David talks about the problem that he's up against and the reality of his enemies and how deadly they are. But did you see it was all based upon a deep trust in God? Again, look at verses 6 through 8. I have called upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Wondrously show your loving kindness, O Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand, from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Believer, please remember, and this will change your life more than anything else. Believer, child of God, know that you are eternally and immeasurably loved by Almighty God. Nothing can touch you apart from Him. You know, Jeremiah 31:3 tells us, I have loved you with an everlasting love. 1 John 3:1 tells us, Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children of God. Believer, you are forever secure in Him. Yes, He'll discipline, He'll chasten. I'm not taking away from that. But understand, you are deeply loved by God. In all of this vast creation, you are what He loves. In all of you think about the all this beautiful earth He created, you think about the moon, the stars, the planets, and all of that, you are what He loves. and you can rest in His love. Whether it's a personal issue, or whether you're interceding for a loved one, or whether we're looking at our nation, we can rest in His love. He hears, He cares, He will move according to His will, but He will move. And we can have absolute confidence. He loves us enough to do what is best. And that leads us to the fourth element of this psalm, and the fourth element of effective prayer. We need to pray eternally. And by that I mean we need to pray with the eternal perspective of the situation. You think of what we read in verses 13 through 15. He makes a contrast here. Arise, O Lord, and confront him. Bring him low. Deliver my soul from the wicked with your sword. From men with your hand, O Lord. From men of the world whose portion is in this life, and whose belly you fill with your treasure. They're satisfied with the children and leave their abundance to their babes. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. He's making contrast there. That the wicked, no matter what they may have, all they have is right now. And the day will come when they will leave it. And yet for the believer, we know that we have an eternal glory waiting for us with our Lord. And as we pray, we need to pray from the eternal perspective. You know, when you talk about making plans, or you talk about finances, you talk about short-term plans, long-term plans, you talk about short-term investing, long-term investing. Believer, we need to live from the eternal perspective. And that's not to say that we are oblivious to what's happening around us. What I mean is that we look at where we are now, we look at the circumstances that we're in, and we pray about the current circumstances from an eternal perspective. That is the viewpoint that we look at. Those are the eyeglasses, the contact lenses that we look through as we look at the situation. This is what our Lord meant in Matthew 6:33. When he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We need to pray for the eternal best. And it's amazing how that changes our perspective about the temporal and the immediate. Again, doesn't mean that we gloss over, doesn't mean we lose our concern. For instance, our nation, if there's ever a time that our nation is in peril, that we need to be in prayer for it, it's right now. But we need to do so from the eternal perspective. We need to pray eternally and look at the eternal good that God works from the situation and pray first and most for that. Now again, I sincerely hope you're going through a wonderful season in your life, but you might not be. And this might be one of those dark periods in your life. And certainly a period of concern for our nation. You're not the first to go through such times. We're not the first to go through such times. The Bible's full of characters who did. You have brothers and sisters in Christ right now who are going through such times. But the wonderful truth is that God is with you. Seek Him. He is there. And rest in Him. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you again that you are the living God. Lord, you're in absolute control. Father, no matter what's happening in our lives, you are in control. No matter what's happening in the life of a loved one or a friend, you're in control. Father, as we look at our nation, you're in control. Father, help us to seek you in prayer. Lord God, especially in terms of our nation, there's no hiding our need right now. Lord, lead us as Daniel did in Daniel 9, Father, to confess his own sins as well as the sins of the nations. May we pray righteously, O God. And may we, O God, trust you as our Father, our wonderful King, and our unlimited God. And Father, may we allow you to give us the eternal perspective in all these matters. Be with us, O God. Let us know your nearness and your strength, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope you do know the Lord's peace through this day. And I hope that you have a good and godly day and a great day in the Lord.